Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moret. Today we are continuing to go verse by verse through the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 1, verse 19. Our plan is to go through verse 42. We'll see if we make it that far. But, Dad, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Ready to get into the Word of God. This is our third show together. So far, it's been fun.
Yes, it has been fun.
So, should we begin with prayer, as always?
Yep.
And, Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you don't have anything further to say, I suppose we should get right into the Word of God.
Yep, all set for it.
Verse 19 of John chapter 1. It says, "Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" Well, John the Baptist was creating a lot of excitement, and a lot of it was good. But some of it was bad, at least as far as the religious leaders in Israel were concerned. You know, the people loved John, talking about the common people, because he was a breath of fresh spiritual air. But the religious rulers hated him, and that's because John the Baptist served God, not the religious system and not the religious hierarchy. John did not feed anyone's pride by bowing to them, and that would include the religious leaders of the day. And they didn't like that. They were used to people paying them homage. And so the rulers could not control John, and they didn't like that either. He preached the pure word of God. He preached repentance. And here's the thing that got to them. He even preached that the religious leaders needed to repent, which really cut at their pride, since they thought that they were better off than everyone else. I should say not better off, but just better than everyone else. And, you know, they got away with a lot of their arrogance in that day, because the average Jewish person was ignorant of God's word. That's how they got away with their religious pride. Only people who understand the Bible can effectively judge people and judge situations. And John came on the scene knowing the Bible, proclaiming the Bible, and judging the situation as it was, and judging the religious leaders as well. Made them very uncomfortable.
So these religious leaders, when they came out and they asked John who he was, did they know who he was, or were they just clueless?
They didn't know who he was,
okay.
No.
Yeah.
And that's going to become apparent in the next few verses.
Yeah, and I guess what I saw in this verse is that, you know, these are the religious leaders, and they were completely clueless, as you just said, to who John was, and they weren't paying attention. John had been out there, and he'd been saying who he was and for what purpose he came, and either the religious rulers were not listening or didn't care. And it's important to apply, unlike what they did, it's important for us to apply what we know about God's word in our mind and in our lives, because if we don't do that, we waste a lot of time by trying to figure out the answers to things that are right in front of us and things that are spoken of very plainly, just like the religious rulers did. They should have known who John was. He was saying who he wasn't hiding from anyone, but they still didn't know. And that's because they didn't, either take the time to go back and investigate or to figure it out for themselves.
You know, I think the problem with the religious leaders is the problem with many people. And that is that they saw the Word of God through their own particular lens, which was tainted with their preconceived ideas of what was right and wrong, rather than letting the Word of God speak for itself, whether it was preached by John the Baptist or anyone else. No, they saw the Word of God, and they only heard what they wanted to hear, and what they wanted to hear had to fall in line with what they already believed. And that can be a dangerous situation, because, again, then you miss the truth. It goes right over your head. And you can play make-believe with some things and get away with it, but you can't play make-believe with the truth and get away with it.
No, it'll always end up catching up to you.
Always. Verse 20. So here's John's response to their question, "Who are you? Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And he said that because a lot of people thought that John the Baptist might be the Christ or the Messiah. And one reason they thought that is because hundreds of years earlier, Daniel the prophet foretold that the Messiah would arrive about this time. But John told the religious rulers, I'm not him, not him.
You know, we've talked about before John the Baptist and how he didn't try to take any attention for himself, but rather he wanted to give all the attention to Jesus. And John, when he was asked here who he was, he could have given a vague answer, but you know, he didn't do that. He said, I'm not the Christ. He wanted to establish that right off the bat. He could have spoken riddles or in circles and confused them so that it might have left open the thought that maybe he could have been Jesus or could have been the Christ. But he said that he was not. And when Jesus started his ministry, it was important that all eyes were on him. And John was very good for setting him up.
I think that it's kind of funny that you say that, because I was thinking the exact same thing as I was studying these verses this week. I didn't pursue that. I'm glad I didn't. But I was thinking the same thing. He could have given a vague answer, or he could have not answered at all and left open the possibility that he was the Messiah and maybe got some accolades, but he wasn't in the ministry for that, was he?
No, and we've talked about that the first couple of weeks that we've done this as well, just the personality that he had, just very good example for us today.
Right. So John says, I'm not the Christ, verse 21, and they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. You know, John the Baptist was not the average run-of-the-mill preacher. And that's another reason that many thought that he could have been the Messiah, certainly someone special. And so the religious leaders asked him, if you're not the Messiah, John, well then, maybe you're the prophet Elijah. Maybe you've returned from heaven. And John said, no. Well, then maybe you're the great prophet that we're expecting to come before the kingdom of God is set up. And that was an expectation among the Jews. No, I'm not him either. So he was not any of those men. But I got to thinking about this, and I thought, if I was John the Baptist, I would be pleased and humbled. What an honor to be mentioned in the same breath as someone like Elijah. So John, he fit the mold of a good Old Testament prophet of God because he didn't hold back. And because he didn't hold back, yes, it's true that the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but he could wear that as a badge of honor because they were hypocrites. On the other hand, he didn't hold back, so God blessed him with spiritual compliments. Whether they were meant to be compliments or not doesn't matter. It would make me feel good if somebody said, well, okay, if you're not the Messiah, then are you Elijah? Are you kidding? That would make my day.
And it just goes to show that right off the bat, these religious rulers didn't have interest in Jesus because they went out there because they're upset with John. They're saying, you know, they're basically out there saying, how dare you take this attention away from us and how dare you say things that we don't like? Right off the bat, without even rejecting Jesus himself, they were rejecting him by rejecting John. Also, if you mention Elijah, well, I guess if these religious rulers would have been in the Old Testament times, they would have not liked Elijah so much either.
No, not at all. In fact, later on, Jesus will confront the Pharisees and the religious leaders because they hated him just like they hated all the prophets in the Old Testament. Or not them, but their forefathers. They were the same way. So you're right. Okay, verse 22. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? I'll tell you what, there was a religious racket in Israel in that day, and it had a stranglehold on the people and religious life, especially of the people. These guys who were sent to John the Baptist by the religious leaders in the land, they have to report back to their superiors, so they want an answer. That's why they keep pressing him. Who are you? What is your business? You know, John could have said, well, who wants to know? and what business is it of theirs anyway? He could have said that, but instead, being the great man of God who was filled with the Holy Spirit as he was, he will use this as an opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God. And that's so classic of a Spirit-filled person. To one who is filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, every situation is an opportunity to instruct from God's Word, and that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, and that was basically one of the things that I was going to say as well. And if you want to go ahead and read verse 23, I'm just going to combine the last couple of verses here with what I have.
Okay. Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. John says, you ask me who I am? I'm someone. Because I'm a preacher of God's word. John says, I'm a voice. And that's what every preacher should be, a voice. And that's it, a voice of God who proclaims the word of God and nothing else. And so John was a preacher sent by God to tell people to repent of their sins so that they would be prepared to receive Christ when he shows up. And that same message has to be preached today. Because no one can receive Christ, no one can be saved from hell unless they also repent, unless they turn away from their sin. John preached that message, repent and believe. Jesus came on the scene, preached the same exact message. The apostles on the day of Pentecost and ever since preached the same message, because repentance prepares the way for salvation. And in fact, you can look at it this way. Repentance is one side of the salvation coin. Think of salvation as being a coin. And that salvation coin, like any other one, has two sides. It consists of repentance from sin and then turning to Christ.
You know, when I look back at these verses 21 through 23, in addition to what you were saying, and again, it's kind of something that we've said already, but John was the perfect guy for his role as the man who paved the way for Jesus, because like I said just a few verses ago, he could not take any attention away from Jesus. He couldn't afford to do that. Because Jesus is the only one that matters. And it seems to me, as I read these verses, the 21 through 23, it seems to me like John didn't like to talk about himself. The first time that they asked him who he was, he could have said, I'm not the Christ, I'm John, and this is what I'm here for. But he didn't do that. You know, the people asking John who he was had to ask him four times before he gave them an answer.
That's a good point.
You know, and by the way, here these so-called religious people are, they're playing guessing games with John, asking him all these questions about who he might be, yet they didn't understand the scriptures from Isaiah enough to know who he was right off the bat, which is what John ended up giving them anyway. But that's a reason that, you know, it's one of the reasons why it's important for us to know the Bible and what it says, so that we won't be caught guessing when something happens. I also kind of like how John didn't try to explain to them in his own words who he was. All he did was quote the scripture. For John, that was enough because, you know, what is said in the Bible is always 100% accurate and true. John didn't need to elaborate on it. He could have gave a speech on his entire life and how he came to this position, but, you know, rather he just pointed them to the Word of God. God's Word always is the most important thing, and we should take a lesson from John to make sure that when people ask us questions about our faith or about Jesus, or anything to do with what we believe, we have to make sure we do exactly what John did. Don't try to explain yourself. Just immediately point to God's word and not to our own thoughts or ideas.
Oh, that's a great point.
Because there's also thoughts and ideas that can be different among Christians, but the basics of the faith that, I mean, if a non-believer is looking at you and asking you questions and I give them one answer about some kind of opinion on a certain subject and you give them an opinion that is a little bit different, that's not necessarily a good thing. Now, good Christians can have honest disagreements, but if they are asking you something, you just point to God's word.
Yeah, excellent. I like that. I like the way you pointed out that's what John did. He didn't answer by giving his personal resume, right?
No.
He didn't try to convince somebody or lay out an argument for who he was. He just quoted the scripture. And then they could compare what he did and what he said to what the Bible said. And they will have their answer. Then it's up to them to receive the word of God or to reject it. And, you know, Jesus did the exact same thing. When John the Baptist later on asked his disciples to go ask Jesus whether he truly was the Christ or not, perhaps in a moment of weakness, John sent that message to Jesus. Are you the Christ or not? Jesus responded by saying, you go tell John, the dead are being raised, the sick are being healed, you know, freedom is being preached to those who are confined, you know, under bondage. And so what Jesus was doing was saying, tell John to compare what I'm doing to the Word of God. He didn't answer that question with a yes or no either. So they were two peas in a pod, as it were, the way they pointed people to Scripture. 24. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And again, just to recap the situation with the religious leaders and John the Baptist, this is why they were so uncomfortable with him. The Pharisees had not given John the okay to minister. So they want to know why he's baptizing. They love to control people spiritually, because that control gave them power over the people's everyday life. And I think it was Lennon, not John Lennon, but Lennon, the guy who is credited with the beginning of communism. I think he's the one who said that religion is the opiate of the people. In other words, if you can control people spiritually, you can control their entire life. And that's what the religious leaders of the day had. They had a stranglehold on people's lives. But it's not the job of some religious hierarchy to tell other Christians today what God has called them to do and where he has called them to do it. To me, there's nothing more sickening than arrogant religious leaders trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit by telling other people God's will for them. And some preachers and some pastors and some religious administrators are on a power trip, not unlike the religious leaders of that day. They had control of the religious system because that enabled them to control the people's lives. And it also brought attention to themselves. And they loved that. And that's why they hated John.
They hated John, and they also did something else with John. You look at verse 25, it says, they say to John, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? The Pharisees didn't like John. He was taking the attention away from them, and they liked to have all the attention. They weren't interested in truth, which is why they had to come asking him questions in the first place. And then look how they responded when John gave them the truth. John quotes a scripture, and what's their response to it? To try to discredit him, just as they did to Jesus when he was in his ministry, because people who are not interested in truth oftentimes try to question it publicly and discredit it because they don't like it. Now, there are other people out there by John, and like you were talking about, they like to control the people. So they see John out there. John throws a scripture at him, and they say in front of everyone, you know, well, who gives you the right to do this? Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
They try to discredit him.
Right.
And... you know, it's not very smart, I don't think. It wouldn't be advisable to, when somebody uses scripture to base an argument, to throw back and try to discredit them just by your own words. Now, if the Pharisees, if John would have been some kind of phony and the Pharisees could have gotten a scripture like John did to discredit him, then by all means, they should. But it was not the case. And there is nothing to discredit him because John was who he said he was. Jesus was who he said he was. But look, Jesus talked about himself by quoting scripture. So did John. The Pharisees, what did they do? Whatever they came up with in their mind.
Right.
And they were the ones who were wrong.
Right. And they did. I mean, they tried to discredit John. And the people saw through that. The people were not stupid. They knew that the religious leaders didn't like John. And they knew why. and the people were actually drawn to John. Verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John says, I baptize with water. In other words, he's saying, well, yeah, I'm doing work of the ministry. I'm baptizing with water. But the implication is it's nothing. It's important, but it's nothing compared to the one who's coming after me and what he will do. And so again, he's pointing people to Jesus without mentioning his name, because he didn't know what his name was. He didn't know the Messiah's name yet, but he's doing his best to point to the coming Messiah. But he says something. He says, you know, the lowest, he says, I'm not worthy to do what the lowest slave does to people. And that's unhook the latchet of someone's shoes and wash their feet, because the lowest of household slaves had the job of greeting guests at the door, making them comfortable, removing their sandals, and washing their hot, dirty feet. That wasn't the job of your average run-of-the-mill slave. That was the job of the lowest slaves. And John says, you ask me who I am? His answer, in essence, was, I'm telling you, I'm nothing. In fact, I'm lower than nothing, because I'm not even worthy to be the lowest slave to the Christ who's about to appear on the scene. And so you've mentioned this. Unlike the religious rulers, John was not in the ministry to draw attention to himself, or he was not in the ministry to control other people. These things never entered into his mind. John preached for the only legitimate reason there is, and that's to serve God, to draw people to Jesus, and to get people to notice Jesus.
And the other thing, too, here in this verse to remember is that John is answering that question from verse 25, where they said, well, why do you baptize? And John's answer to them was, number one, that, like you said, he was nothing, and also pointing towards Jesus. But the other thing that John did not do to them after they asked, well, why do you baptize, John? And it says he answered them saying, he didn't answer them by apologizing. He didn't apologize to these religious rulers for making them uncomfortable. John gave them the truth. He gave them the facts. And he didn't come back by saying, well, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I'll stop baptizing. I didn't know I was offending you. He didn't care. He didn't care. He didn't even address that. You know, John shot right back at him and pointed towards Jesus the first chance that he got. And it's a good lesson for us when people criticize us for doing something because God wants us to. Don't sit and apologize. Don't try to defend yourself. Just point them to Jesus.
Good point. We move on. Verse 29. Yeah. Are you done? You got more?
Well, in verse 27, you know, you mentioned John's reverence for God. And one of the other things that stands out to me is through this whole portion of Scripture is that John was being questioned and disliked, especially since John did not call any attention to himself. He didn't take any credit for anything. It was not John that the religious rulers were even offended at. John was just a man who did not take any attention away from them himself, but he was part of Christ's ministry, and that's the key as to why the religious rulers didn't like him. Whether they knew that was why they disliked him or not, I don't know, but it's a good reminder that if you are associated with Christ, if you're a Christian, people aren't going to like you because they don't like Jesus. And that's the effect of Jesus in your life is going to boil over and have an effect on the people around you, and they are not going to like you, because John, he wasn't doing anything to try to offend anyone.
No.
He was just doing what he was placed here for. And what was he placed here for? He was placed here to be something for Jesus, and because of that, people didn't like him. If John would have just been some normal, your average Joe, nobody would have noticed. Nobody would have cared.
No,
as soon as you start doing something for Jesus, he wasn't doing something for John. He was doing something for Jesus, and that's when people started to take notice and dislike him.
Right, and the Pharisees thought perhaps that they disliked him because he was drawing attention to himself, But the real reason they disliked him is because he was drawing attention to God, and they didn't want God to be on the throne. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will have it out with Jesus over and over again throughout the 3.5 years that our Lord ministered, where, you know, it's clear they wanted to keep their stranglehold on the religious system and on the people's spiritual lives, but that belongs to God. And that's why John was there, to bring it back to God, and that's why Jesus came, to turn people's hearts back to God as well. And that's why they didn't like it. They didn't want to give that up. And so it's beginning. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And John's Jewish listeners would know exactly what he was saying by that. He was saying Jesus is a sacrificial lamb provided by God. Jesus is God's sacrificial lamb given as a gift to mankind to take away the sins of his people. So just let that sink in a little bit. God became a man and became the sacrifice for our sins. And God wants us to be saved so badly. And I'm talking to people today, we are talking to people today who feel terrible about themselves because they've committed some terrible sins, and maybe they've done it for a long time. But God wants that person to be saved so badly that he put himself on an altar. He wants sinners who have offended him more than we can possibly imagine to be saved so badly that he allowed men to kill him, and by that he paid the penalty for sin. And that's what it means when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God."
And when I look at these two, or when I look at verse 29 and when you get into verse 30, when I read it, you know, you can almost feel, I don't know exactly how it was said by John, but when I read it, I can almost, you know, sense some excitement coming from John. You know, those who love Jesus will get excited about him. You know, they like to talk about him. When you have something in your life that you really love, you like to talk about it. You and I, we spend a lot of time talking about sports. Some people talk a lot about cars or food and different recipes, things like that. Everyone loves to talk about the things that interest them. And for a Christian, that's Jesus. You know, there's something wrong with a Christian if they don't get excited to talk to each other or to others about Jesus. I mean, John saw Jesus coming and seemed to get excited, and, you know, he got, in fact, he even got excited before he was born.
I was just thinking
he got
of that.
Excited before he was born, yeah. Even when Mary came near him. And, you know, so Christians get excited when Jesus comes up or when they get a chance to talk about him.
Yep, that John just carried that same attitude throughout his entire life. Let's read verses 30 and 31 quickly here. "This is he," John is saying of Jesus, "of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water." So John baptized people as a sign of repentance, but God also told John, somehow, some way, that he would use his ministry of baptism to introduce the Messiah, not only to John himself, but to the whole world. And next time we're going to see how that happened.
We'll get into it a little bit deeper next time here, as we'll pick it up right in the same place. Want to remind you, everyone, thanks for listening to Scripture Verse by Verse, but if you would like to be a part of this ministry, you can be with your prayers and financial support. The address is Scripture Verse by Verse, P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, 54402. Again, your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can send them to that same address or email them to versebyverse@live.com. And that's going to do it here this week for this week's edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. So have a good week, and I'll talk to you next week.
See you next week. Looking forward to more of John the Baptist and getting into the ministry of Jesus. So see you next time.